You know, among the numbers, this is just from the Wall Street Journal, and you may have heard Steve or Bob talk a little bit about this in the news, but between 7,000 and 15,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in Ukraine, and up to 40,000 Russian troops in total have been killed, wounded, or taken prisoner, or are missing, says a senior official from NATO. 40,000 casualties or missing soldiers on the Russian side. Of course, it's devastating what's happening to Ukraine and Ukrainians, but the damage that is being inflicted upon the Russian army and navy is incredible. There's a ship, a Russian naval ship, a big one, that's completely on fire. They say it looks like it's destroyed. I don't know much more for you about that, but you hadn't even thought about the Russian navy. I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal today, the U.S. estimates that the Russian casualties aren't that high, but may be around 7,000. So you're talking about one-fifth of the combat forces sent to Ukraine are killed, injured, or missing on the Russian side. Joel Ostrow is a professor of political science over at Benedictine University. We've tapped him more than once to answer a few questions for us. I wonder how much of this information the people in Russia are getting, Joel.
Thank you for having me on again, John. And that's a good point. And the numbers range widely because of the strict censorship and information control in Russia. And I did want to make this point. I got chastised at home for leaving this out the last time we talked. The Russian media environment is government controlled, all of it, right? There's no alternate source of information. The government controls information, and the Russian population, as a result, is, a colleague of mine calls it, is hypnotized, because they only really, the vast majority only have whatever comes out of the Kremlin or is sanctioned by the Kremlin to air in the media. And we shouldn't be surprised by the way the Russian people support the action, because although we don't have government control of information here like that, we have a certain self-censorship. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, a significant portion of the American population thinks the last election was stolen, that COVID is, a conspiracy, that the vaccines are dangerous or don't work, and on and on and on. You know, there's some portion believes that John F. Kennedy Jr. is going to come back and be installed as president by Trump. And people really believe those things. When you're isolated to a single set of information, your views can become warped. And we should be very familiar with that at home and take that warning seriously.
That's an interesting point. So then imagine that times 1,000, because we have
Correct.
Access to all kinds of information here, and yet plenty of people believe things that aren't true. Imagine
Correct.
If your access was severely limited. Maybe you would think that you're fighting the Nazis and liberating Ukraine, even as you set it on fire. What else are you thinking about with the war in Ukraine? I've got 2 minutes
yeah.
here right
yeah.
now, but give me your
yeah.
foremost thoughts.
Well, and 100% on that last point, John, because here people know the other information exists. It's going to be very difficult to expect some kind of internal pressure against this action in Russia unless, you know, so the wide range of numbers. But as Russian casualties go up, there are going to be family members who are going to hear about it.
Yeah.
But what do they hear? That's another question. They might just become disaffected at the mounting losses and the contrast with the information coming out of the Kremlin that everything's a success. Then some from the wounded side might also hear, oh, and by the way, we're also committing atrocities and targeting Ukrainian civilians. And, oh, yeah, why do we hate the Ukrainians again? That doesn't make sense. The numbers are troubling, on both sides, obviously. We don't even, the Ukrainian losses are just horrific. But the Russian losses are really mounting. The sinking of that supply ship in the Black Sea or the Sea of Azov is significant. From what I've read, is the Russian Navy has been counting on using two supply ships to bring medical supplies, food, arms, and other munitions up from the south. So if they become less able or hampered in doing that, that's going to further erode their effectiveness.
It's amazing that.
Yeah.
Russia, Putin is more than just that man. He's got generals and commanders and lieutenants and whatnot, but it's amazing how ill-prepared they seem to be for the kind of war they're having to fight. And you know, here's another thing, Joel, and let's you and I talk about this next week. I actually have someone coming on later about this today, but the sanctions and the impact of them and what businesses are or aren't doing and how we score that, let's you and I have that conversation next week. I'm out of time today, but
okay.
Thanks for your insight, Joel.
It is troubling that we don't hear those so-called oligarchs actually speaking out, even the ones who are out of the country. It's really disturbing, and I don't see that as being a real pressure point on Putin anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Joel Ostrow from Benedictine University.